Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this morning's show, Jody Susan with Self-Care with Susan Essentials. We're already having technical difficulties, so I'm just going to say, so we never know. We're just playing a couple videos all at the same time. So, you know, I always like to have a little excitement during the day, especially at the right beginning. So I just have to play, would like to play my one introduction for the show, and we're just going to play that real quick so people know where they're at. Give me one moment.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Okay, so we are back, and barring any other technology issues. So several years ago, many years ago, I was using LinkedIn, still am, and I met this amazing man who's our guest here today. His name is Daryl Moon. He's the CEO of Orient. And Daryl founded Orient in 1996 to change the dynamics of healthcare. He's clearly a disruptor in the marketplace. He thinks outside the box. And, you know, often refer to myself as one who likes to shift the paradigm of health, but he's been doing this way longer than I have been. So he certainly has led that path and led that charge. He led 10 different medical and psychiatric hospitals throughout the country before creating Orion. And he has more than 20 years of experience managing insurance, managed care products, and he's a Forbes leadership contributor. And Orion is the number one the most effective wellness program, and I'll let Daryl actually clarify if I get this wrong, but Orion is the number one most effective wellness program in the country. And they do that by meeting people where they're at. So it is my distinct pleasure to bring on Daryl, and once you click the click right now, there we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. It's nice to be with you.
Likewise, likewise. And so did I get that right, the number one most effective wellness program in the country, or is it the world? I mean, I don't know.
We've been recognized as the most effective wellness program, and that's because our effort is to truly change population health, not just simply incent people to do simple tasks. It's easy to get someone to do a simple task, but it's a whole different thing to actually engage population health through changing population behavior.
So, and, you know, I kind of hinted to the public about why you got started, but why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, why you stepped out of the role that you were in, why you created Orion, because you've had a huge impact on the health of others.
Sure. So as I was going around the country running hospitals, as either the CEO, CFO, or COO, one of my specialties was helping hospitals become accredited with a commendation. And back in the 1980s and 90s, the organization that accredits hospitals had transitioned to using Edwards Deming philosophies of continuous quality improvement. And so the accreditation standards were changing very much from, as I describe, what they used to do is, let's say you were serving a bakery, and it was about the temperature of the oven get just right? Are the recipes put together just right? Are you following the recipes correctly? You know, is the temperature of the refrigerator right? Are the weevils in the flour? That's the kind of things that the Joint Commission used to look at hospitals through. Well, they never tasted the bread. It was all about, did all the components there, but what was the bread like, right? So this transition for Joint Commission was to see if they could actually evaluate more of the outcomes of the hospital rather than just are all the policies and procedures up to date. So if you take Edwards Deming's philosophy and you really break them down to its simplest basic format, it's asking the question, who's the customer?
Right.
And that's the number one most important thing is, who's your customer? Then once you identify who your customer is, what are you doing to monitor whether you're delighting the customer? And are your processes in place to where there is not variation in those monitors? And when you see that variation in those monitors, are you bringing the people closest to the process to improve the process? So you can continually improve delighting the customer. Basically said, that's what continuous quality improvement is all about. It's what Edwards Deming, you know, for years has been an influence in this country and countries across the world in doing. And so here I am helping hospitals go through this process of setting up these continuous quality improvement monitors and so forth, and applying focused PDCA and improving processes. It was very difficult not to step back to the entire healthcare industry through the lens of CQI. And of course, the very first question is, who's the customer? And of course, as a hospital administrator, my job, the way I was recognized, was all about doctors, who are the only ones who can admit to a hospital, and are we getting them to admit to our hospital versus someone else's, or are the patients having a good experience while they're there?
Right.
Right.
And yet doctors don't pay for health care. And patients largely don't pay for health care. So neither of those that I was most focused on were even my real customers who bought my service. And if you really back up and ask, well, who are the customers of the healthcare system, it's certainly not the insurance companies because they just pass the money on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, if you think about it, it's the business leaders who are willing to spend the money in offering health benefits to attract and retain top talent. That's who is the customer of healthcare. And when you identify and define that as my customer, as a hospital administrator, I had to shake my head and said, this has to be the most broken industry in all of America.
Uh-huh.
I not only don't do anything to meet my customers' needs, I just the opposite. My incentives are perversely aligned with my customer. My job is about filling up my hospital. Everything about my job is to keep my hospital full.
Right.
And to make sure that the doctors admit to the hospital versus somebody else's hospital. But my customer doesn't want the hospital full. The customer wants healthy employees and productive employees. And yet the healthcare system is really not about keeping employees healthy. The healthcare system is about once you fall off the cliff, how do I park my ambulance in a position versus somebody else to where I get to fix you? And it's all about making money fixing people who fall off cliffs. And finally, it drove me nuts. You know, the longer I kept pondering that concept and the more I kept experiencing what this healthcare system's built to do, the more I recognized that this is a broken system. And we've got to start putting fences up, and the system, we've got to figure out a way to align the buyer of healthcare with the provider of healthcare. And there are so many levels in between. That's why it's this fragmentation between who provides the service and who's willing to pay for the services and what they want, and this perverse alignment of incentives. Hence, I left the treatment side of healthcare for the purpose of really putting fences at the top of the cliff.
And, you know, what a great word, fragmented, because it really is. The healthcare system is so fragmented, and they fail to focus on the things that are most important. I think that they, most of them, not all, because I was a function of a misdiagnosis, as you probably recall, but they do a pretty good job with diagnosis, but there's no space that I see, except for what you're doing, for follow-up, right? So what are they doing?
Well, and if you think about it, there's a Dr. Firuz Danishgeri, who's the founder of Bowtie Medical, who I think describes this as well as anybody. And that is, we have this whole public health system, which is all about vaccinations and community health and trying to drive prevention. And then we have this sick care system. If you fall off the cliff, let us help you, fix you, and we'll make a lot of money. And the more people we fix, the more money we get to make. But in the middle is this huge gap in healthcare that's about putting fences up and keeping people healthy and really supporting people in being the owner of their own health. And that's where we miss. So we'll do vaccinations and we'll do community health and we'll do public health, but there's this entire gap in the healthcare system that no one's addressing. And again, it's alerting the customer of the healthcare system that they're buying a fragmented system. And it's very simple for an employer who's the one buying the healthcare system to change that, but it has to be driven by market forces. It's the buyer of healthcare that has to rise up and change the way they buy healthcare, because the healthcare, it works. When people say it's broken, it's not broken in terms of the way it was designed. It's working perfectly based on what it was designed to do. The problem is that there's no alignment between the customer and the provider. And hence, the provider doesn't have to meet the customer's needs in order to just keep making more and more money, which is why healthcare continues to go up.
Well, yeah, and I would say, though, that the disconnect that I see between, let's say, I think there's a perception issue, because people think about hospitals and doctors, and they think they're just forgive me, like, I mean, hospitals are there for an emergency, right? And a lot of times, and I think that's why these minute clinics came about, people were going to a hospital for a cold, right? And so that alone drove up costs. So introduced the minute clinics and, you know, real quick care. But, you know, from my standpoint, through my health journey, I mean, you can kind of see here where, you know, for the listening audience or for the watching audience, excuse me, we do have a caller. So we're going to take that caller, 773-221. We're going to be taking your call in a minute. So I went from being 234 pounds to, you know, where I'm at today. And it was because I had to take control of my health. And so people, a lot of people tend to be in a do me mentality, right? Give me a pill, give me this, give me that. But they don't realize they have to go inward and take a look at themselves. And of course, you know, I aspire to a fit medicine mindset, because I think you can a slew of different ways to help the body heal itself. We have a caller, 773-221. We have lots of callers today. 773-221. State your name and where you are calling from. I'm going to help you go live here in a second. Good morning.
Yes, I'm Andrew Nelson, Grand Rising. I'm Andrew Nelson. I'm a candidate for Mayor of Chicago. What is your name, please?
Oh, this is Jody Tucson, Tucson Essentials. And then we have Daryl Moon, who's the CEO of Orion. And you're Andrew?
That's O-R, that's O-R-I-O-N.
So O-R-R-I-A-N-T. And you're Andrew?
Oh, yes. You know, if I were mayor of Chicago, I've just done some research as recently as yesterday. There's something called the Certificate International of Vaccination or of, I'm reading the French version, I didn't get the English version. Certificate International, it's different. So International Certificate of Vaccination or Prophylaxis. And I looked up the word prophylaxis, and COVID Certificate of Vaccination Identification. If I was mayor of Chicago, I would say the option should be a prophylaxis rather than a vaccination. I like the definition of prophylaxis. Now, this international certificate of
vaccination. Go ahead and define that for us, Andrew. Go ahead and define that for us, please.
I haven't written it down yet. I was on the internet. I was about to write it down. I'm going to do some more research into it. You know, when I was a child, I had aspired to become a medical doctor, and we do what we are rather than are what we do. And so on my own volition, this is what I'm doing, as if I were a doctor or a medical researcher, because I really am that. And, you know, and even though I'm not a lawyer, I do understand concepts of law and how the law is actually misapplied insofar as the whole infrastructure of the medical industry, how that the customer, the patient, has to be the number one priority, the well-being of the patient. And doctors have to really abide by the Hippocratic Oath not to do any harm. Now, there's so many, vaccinating a patient is doing harm to them, period, because the vaccination is experimental. It hasn't gone through the proper protocols of being authorized. It's an emergency authorization. People don't have to take it. And, of course, the whole thing that the powers that be are trying to do is to get people vaccinated any which way they can. We have the energy of integrity. We have to identify every individual on the planet and who they are and what the nature of their energy of intention is. And that's what I'm in the process of doing.
So, you know, I know that we're going to have different opinions on this show about the, I always just call it the jab so that we don't get kicked off the air. And I'm just going to go on the record that everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think even Daryl and mine is different, which is fine. I am not a fan because I of putting foreign things into your body. So I do stand with you. I do understand a lot of people feel that it's preventive, but I also think oregano essential oil and clove essential oil are preventive, and D3 and zinc and vitamin C are preventive, and we do know that they don't do harm to the body. And we don't, like you said, we don't have proof about the experimental concoction that they made up. So
yes,
but
I would very much like to get in contact with the gentleman who's there with you, Orient. I'm trying to collect these notes here so I can contact. What is the fellow's name?
So it's Daryl Moon. But I mean, do you have a question for Daryl, or
how do you spell your name, please, sir?
Go
I'm
ahead,
trying to get in contact with you.
Daryl, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. Last name is Moon, M-O-O-N. And
okay.
The company is Orient. Yeah. You can go to orient.com right. to contact me.
Okay.
And that's O-R-R-I-A-N-T.
And I'll actually put
yes.
his website. If you go to the YouTube channel, Susan Essential YouTube channel, I will have in the chat a link to Daryl's website. Fair enough?
Okay. Very
so
much.
It,
and
it,
thank you so much, Daryl. I very much appreciate everything that you said. It's so vital what you said, and I'm going to do my best to really implement what needs to be implemented the proper way in my capacity, either as Cook County Board President, as a Republican, or as Mayor of Chicago. Where are you from, Daryl?
I live
I'm
in
from
Utah.
Chicago,
I was born in Utah, but I've worked all over the country, including Chicago. I actually lived in Wheaton
okay.
for a while and ran a hospital in Chicago area.
So you know about the John Huntsman Medical Center there in Salt Lake City, right?
I do. Uh-huh.
Yes. I like John Huntsman Jr. In fact, I wanted to be vice president with him when he ran in 2012. So there's a connection there in Utah, and I'm also interested in all the genealogies of everyone on the planet, which I think both the Catholic Church and the Mormons have a database for. That's interesting.
It's very nice to meet you. Thanks for your – did you have a question specifically for us today?
What is your email address? Is it there on the website?
If you go to the website, there's a contact us page, and just simply send a message that way, and it'll get to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you, Andrew.
Enough. I appreciate everything you said, Daryl.
Thank you, Andrew.
You.
All right.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, just trying to see if there we go. There's the question looking. All right, so let's bring this back. So we're going to talk about aspirational health care today. And so why don't you tell our listening audience, what is aspirational health care?
Thank you. So, you know, it's amazing that I only learned about this a few months ago, but there really is a health care system on this planet that works very effectively. And it's referred to as an aspirational healthcare system. And you might say, oh, right, sure. How is it that someone can really put up one healthcare system and say it's the very best? Well, it truly is. It's called the NUCA system of care. It was created by South Central Foundation up in Alaska. And it's the only healthcare system that has won the President Malcolm Baldrige Award for quality twice. Both in 2011 and again in 2017, and you have to wait like 6 or 7 years after winning it to even win it again. They have been recognized around the world as the most effective healthcare system, superior outcomes at half the price. Countries come from all over the world to visit Alaska to figure out how is it that you can provide a healthcare system that is so much more effective than all the other systems, and you can do it for half the price. It's pretty amazing. And the story behind the NUCA system of care is, to me, fascinating. And I'll just share with you back in 1996, 1997, 1998, something like that, the Congress of the United States said, we're going to pass a regulation or a law that allows for, so Native Americans, the government offers health care as well as education. And they said that if any of the Native Americans wanted to take over from the federal Indian health care services, their own health care system, we would allow them. Well, the South Central Foundation, which is a group representing about 220 Native Alaskans, led by a very innovative CEO by the name of Catherine Gottlieb, who has a fascinating story herself, but at the time she was the CEO, and she with her team said, it can't be any worse than it is. If we take this over, it can't possibly get any worse. So let's take it over and let's run healthcare ourselves. And we'll take the funding and we'll produce a healthcare system that's more aspirational or focused on the patient. And so they did what every other industry has to do in order to survive. They simply went out to their customers and they asked their members, the patients, the individuals, the people that they were going to be offering healthcare to, they spent 6 months researching, what is it that you want from a healthcare system? And they built these pillars of, here are the pillars of what our customer wants, and now we're going to build a healthcare system around them instead of the way healthcare normally works across the world, which is we're the institution of medicine. We have all the knowledge and science. Come to us to be the great benefactors of our wonderful wisdom. Generally works. And they simply said, we're going to turn that upside down. And we're going to make the customer owner, the person who is in charge of their own health, the focus of our system. And the system's going to come together to work to drive health and not just simply fix people when they fall off the cliff. And so the pillars that they came up with when they went out to the customers and said, well, what does the customer want? It was very simple. It was, I want the healthcare system to be focused on me. It helped me keep from falling off the cliff. I'm the owner of my own health. My healthcare team is there to support me in reaching my goals. They support me through my good and bad days. Relationships. I have a long-term trusted relationship with my healthcare team. They really know my story and they care about me. It's my journey. They listen to me. They advise me. They support me on my entire journey of health. When, where, and how. My team and I are partners in deciding what I need, when and where I need it in a safe, effective, and optimized way. And finally, my values drive my health. My questions, my concerns are answered, my care is coordinated, my values and goals are what drive my health plans. And that became what they heard from their customer as what the customer wanted. So they simply built a healthcare system around what the customer wanted. And by doing that, they've been able to take a population when they started that was at the low 5% of all HEDIS scores. The Native Alaskans have, you know, a history of health challenges, and they took a population with HEDIS scores in the low 5% and over 20 years brought them up to the top 25% in almost every single HEDIS category. Now, that says a lot for a healthcare system. And to be able to do that at half the price than our traditional healthcare system, you can't shake a stick at that and say, well, there's a problem, because it's about the person and it's about surrounding the person with support to be as healthy as possible instead of waiting for the person to fall off the cliff so that we can make a lot of money fixing them. It's an entirely upside down system than what we're used to, and yet it's built on what the customer wants instead of what the system wants.
Well, that's amazing. And that had to really make your heart sing, because I know who you are and your whole company is based on that. You know,
it is. That's been the drive that I've had for over 20 years. So to hear about a system that actually from community health all the way to tertiary care builds an entire healthcare system where relationships and engaging people in their own health was more important than creating a perfect treatment plan, was so inspiring. Because if the patient never applies the treatment plan, What good is it that you came up with the greatest answer on the planet? It doesn't mean anything. They won't implement it.
Exactly. So I just want to make sure, we have to go to a commercial, but I also want, I'm going to put in the comments, while I'm bringing this up, because you know I have to multitask here, tell people about the OrionLife.com, about the coaching that people have access to for $40 a month, because that's amazing. So I have it in the chat so everyone can access it. And while I'm bringing this up, why don't you just share with that, and then we'll come back to what we were talking about after commercial. Sound good?
Okay. So Orion Life offers health coaching to anybody interested in unlimited health coaching on demand for only $40 a month. And basically, you now have an accountability partner who's not there to prescribe to you what you should be doing, but more importantly, is there to support you in making the changes. The hardest thing there is to do in healthcare, by far, is changing behavior. It's more difficult than to replace your heart, to do neurosurgery. Helping people change behavior is very difficult. And the most effective best practice of that is not to prescribe change, but to simply identify through a trusting relationship what ruts the person wants to get out of. What are the battles each of us are suffering and struggling with personally? And having an accountability partner that can partner up with our reasoning part of our brain, who's battling with our amygdala, that part that has so much control over our behavior, to support us in actually making the changes that we want to make in the areas that are important to us, is the key to how you change population behavior. And you do it one person at a time by identifying that own person's desires to change.
Awesome. And perfectly on key, because look at this. I got the commercial up. We'll just go to commercial. We've got a couple of days, and then we'll circle right back.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being, and we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
All right. And then let me just...
Hi, I'm Jody Susan.
Oh, you can watch it twice. There we go. Oh, and it seems to stop. There we go. There. Okay.
Did you know that more than 100 million U.S. adults are now living with diabetes, prediabetes, obesity, and pain? We know these chronic conditions are the leading causes of death and disability, and they are driven by our lifestyle. The good news is that you have the power to prevent these chronic diseases by joining the Functional Food Program. We teach you to make simple changes and transform your life. When participating in the Functional Food Program, you will learn how to navigate the grocery store, avoid hidden sugars, identify GMOs, improve gut health, support the immune system, and more. On top of that, you'll receive a healthy lifestyle jumpstart kit and begin eliminating toxins immediately. So, improve your health by clicking the link below and join the Functional Food Program today. Thank you.
Okay, and then some of our radio. We have, you know, I should mention, we have a different, let me stop the screen share here for a moment. We have different hosts every day of the week here, and I'm just going to run some information about Vieta, who's another holistic life coach. Let's see if I can get that.
I'm Vieta, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Vieta.
So I want to share something just so to put things into perspective for people before we go back to what you're talking about, girl. And I don't know if this is so easy to read, so I'm just going to see if I can make it a little bigger. But what I did is I went to the CDC and I put in, you know, I searched out what the leading causes of death are. And I'm just going to blow this up for people who are watching online. But heart disease, you know, this is, you know, and these are stats for 2019. So heart disease, people are dying 659,000 plus a year. Cancer, 599,000 plus a year. Accidents, unintentional injuries, 173,000. Respiratory, almost 157,000, strokes, 150,000, Alzheimer's, which has been on the rise, 121,000 plus, diabetes, you know, close to 88,000, and I want to go down to the very bottom, and which I think that this number is probably so low right now, intentional self-harm, suicide, 47,511, and I'm sure that if we had stats for today, that we would know that that number is low because of what's going on. And, you know, the thing is that there's, oopsie daisy, hold on, if I can just, there we go. There's an opportunity to support people in reclaiming their health. But I think, Daryl, that you agree, and pipe in if you don't, I think it starts with everything that's between our ears. Would you agree?
Absolutely. No, and it's not that we don't know. Like I said before, often we know what we need to do, but we get in these ruts. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to get out of a rut. And, you know, we have this battle that's going on between our prefrontal cortex, which is that reasoning part of our brain, and that amygdala that is not a thinking part of our brain, but controls a tremendous amount of our behavior and does not like to change. Bottom line, the amygdala does not like change. And it takes us a while to get into new ruts that are more healthy. And therein lies the real challenge, is how do we systematize supporting people and taking ownership and supporting people in overcoming or winning, being successful at accomplishing their own battles. Therein lies the real secret of, they say that almost 90%, 87.5% of everything we spend in healthcare, which right now is almost $4 trillion, almost
wow.
20% of our entire gross domestic product goes towards primarily helping people after they fall off the cliff. And yet that cliff is caused almost 90% by our own behavior, our own lifestyle, our own choices. So the fact that our system is not built to support that, and yet an aspirational healthcare system like the NUCA system is. They built an entire system around supporting people in taking ownership of their own health. I love Dr. Eby's. Can I share with you just an analogy of how that works?
Oh, sure. And then I have another caller for you.
Do you want to take the caller first?
Sure, first. And then caller, it's 312-849. We're going to bring you on next. So go ahead, Daryl.
So if you think about health, and you know, so often we think that the objective is health care. Mm-hmm. When what the customer truly wants is health. If you look at it, what a person wants, it's health. If you look at what an employer wants to buy for their employees, they want to buy benefits. In fact, I have the pleasure of being a speaker for a lot of CEO groups around the country. And I ask CEOs, why are you willing to spend all this money?
Right.
What is it you want? And I've never heard someone say, I want a system to pick people up after they fall off a cliff. Never have I heard any CEO say, that's what I want to buy. And yet that is what our system is built to do.
Exactly.
What they say is, I want to be able to attract and retain top talent. I want a healthy, productive workforce because the health and the productivity of my workforce is directly tied to the product that goes out the door. And I want my employees to be satisfied with the benefits that I offer. I want them to feel like they have a great benefit offering. And I don't want it to cost an arm and a leg. And so that's what the customer wants. And yet we build a system around what we want. But the healthcare system, it's a financial institution.
Exactly.
It makes money. It just keeps wanting to make more money. And until the customer rises up and says, look, I'm going to use free market forces to drive the system to give me what I want, we're not going to make that change. And so what the aspirational healthcare system does when it comes to that mindset that is so amazing and why it's so effective is they said, okay, if the customer is the focus, and relationship is the foundation, supporting people and making change, then let's not simply say to people, when you fall off the cliff, come show up at the emergency room. Let's be proactive. Let's take a team of primary care providers, a doctor, a nurse case manager, a medical assistant, a scheduler coordinator, and let's have those four people be assigned to only 1,000 or 1,200 members. Instead of the 4,000 that typically primary care physicians have, they're only assigned 1,000 to 1,200 members. And their primary job is not to be there when people fall off the cliff, but just the opposite, to reach out to those people and through storytelling and through building trusting relationships and rapport, create the kind of relationship with those people where they know that they're supported by the team. And that team is then supported by a behavioral health consultant, an exercise and sports scientist, a nutritionist, a pharmacist, a physical therapist. You know, they're supported. And it's about bringing in a massively powerful primary care system that's built on relationships and who knows that their mantra is every interaction with the patient should include some level of engaging that person in their own ownership of their own health.
I cannot agree with you more.
That's
really.
That's a much better system than the deficit-based healthcare system that we're all purchasing through our typical healthcare system, not just in this country, where we spend twice as much as every other country, but most countries across the world are really deficit-based healthcare systems rather than aspirational.
So let's take our next caller, and I have something to add to that, but I'll take our next caller, and I'll pull up the stats while we're doing that. So it's caller 312-849. We're going to bring you on. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Well, good morning. This is Naima from Chicago, and I've got a question for your guest.
Hi,
you so
Naima.
Much for joining
Daryl, this is our executive producer. So
thanks.
I should remember her number, but I don't.
Oh, it's okay. I got a couple of them, so it's okay. But I'm really grateful that you're sharing this information. One of the things that's frustrating to me, of course, is that people are more or less making decisions based on their availability of money. And we know that the insurance industry is very political. A lot of natural health care systems, a lot of natural means of healing are not covered by insurance. And I've got a number of friends who I know if they could just connect with people who are offering things that make sense and things that are natural and will bring real healing and not just management of symptoms and sick care, that they would be healed. But they say, well, you know, I either you know, I got insurance that I can afford that will cover my doctor's visits, or, you know, I got state provided insurance, public aid insurance or whatever, but none of those things that you talk about, they tell me, you know, will be covered by my insurance, so I can't afford to do the natural health. So I want to know, is there anyone, any company, anybody who's created insurance that covers natural, holistic health and healing that people could have access to? Do you know about that, or is that something that just needs to be created?
So,
what are your thoughts on that?
So let me answer that question by rephrasing it a little bit. So often we think that there's buying health insurance is synonymous with creating health, and they're not. I would say it's not the insurance company's fault, it's the buyer's fault. So if employers represent the largest buyer in healthcare, simply say, I'm going to go buy an insurance policy for my employees, they're being sucked into this broken system. What I teach CEOs to do is to change the way they buy healthcare, change the way they put money into the solution. So instead of saying, well, all my money is going to go into buying a health insurance product, which primarily doesn't do a lot of things that we want to do, say, I'm going to have four buckets, and I'm going to put money into each of those buckets for my employees. And I'm going to let my employees choose to use my money to buy what makes the most sense for them. One of those buckets is going to be for medical catastrophic type care. When I fall off the cliff, I need some help. I'm going to put some money into that. And if the person says, well, you know what? I'm going to use that money to go buy a traditional health insurance program, then great. If they say, oh, I think a sharing program might be better for me, I'm going to use that money to go buy a sharing program. Or if they say, I'm going to buy something different, they choose what to use that money to buy, but that's only one of the four buckets. There's another bucket that goes into what we call direct primary care. The healthcare system is badly broken, and it starts with the way we do primary care. And the simple, I'm going to buy insurance is going to take care of my primary care, is a bit of a misnomer, because primary care in this country is about, again, going to the doctor when I have a problem, and the doctor simply takes 10 to 12 minutes to diagnose me, basically give me a treatment plan that involves either giving me a prescription or sending me to a specialist. And then they seldom do much to actually quarterback and coordinate my care. That's a broken system. And that's not how direct primary care works. And direct primary care is on a subscription level. It's more of, I'm now aligned with you. I'm aligned with your buyer. I'm aligned to keep you healthy. And so direct primary care has a lot fewer patients in their practice, a lot more like what Nuka built. And so the employer says, I'm going to put money into a bucket for you to go get a direct primary care position, and you go choose what you want. I'm going to put another bucket of money into wellness to help you stay healthy. If you want to use that money to go get essential oils, if you want to use that money to create a peaceful meditation, if you want to use that money to get a health coach, if you want to use that money to stay healthy, great. Here's the money. You'll use it to stay healthy. And then finally, the fourth bucket is the money that goes into a savings account that is tax deferred, that says, here's money that you get to use to spend to pay for your deductibles and your co-insurance. And if you want to use it to buy other things that maybe isn't covered by your insurance, you can do that. But it's the buyer of the healthcare system needs to change the way they buy healthcare and simply say, I'm going to use a defined contribution, I'm going to put buckets of money into these four buckets, and let people choose then how to use that money, and it changes the whole framework. It's no longer, does my insurance cover everything I want it to cover? Don't think about it that way. It's like insurance is just a piece of a big puzzle, and the buyer should be putting money into more buckets than just insurance. Does that make sense?
Naima, make sense to you too, or no?
Oh, that definitely makes sense. If employers choose to do that, that would definitely be empowering for the employees. They would just have to decide that it's more important for them to give those choices as opposed to whatever incentives the insurance company that they may be patronizing is giving. So,
regulation was passed just a year ago that actually I believe will change the face of healthcare. So for 75 years, a decision made by the government on employers that created employer-sponsored group health insurance basically said in order for employers to get the tax deductibility of this money that they're spending, they have to buy a group health insurance plan for their employees. Well, for 75 years, we basically put shackles on the employer and said the only way you get to do this is the way we want you to do it. Well, the government finally said, let's pass a regulation called the Individual Coverage Health Reimbursement Account that allows the employers to get freed up from those shackles, and that they can use these buckets and they can say, I'm going to put money into this ICHRA and you can use the money to go buy whatever you want.
It begins to
create a whole new, like we could go in and talk more about some of the creative and innovative companies that are producing health insurance type products that are far more patient focused than our typical system that's deficit based. But anyway, that I think is the beginning of a huge change in this industry.
When did that change, Daryl?
The beginning of 2020.
Really? So my friend who owns a small business in Palatine, a chocolate shop, she is actually doing something similar. I won't say exact because I don't know all the details, but she's allocating, maybe $500 or $600 or something for her employees to use the money how they wish, whether it be, like you said, oils or going to have, she aspires to holistic health as well. So she gives them money. So if they want to go see an acupuncturist, they can do that. You know, or anything else that may not be covered, and she's got a slew. She's introducing me to more modalities. Let's put it that way.
Well, then let's take that $600. The average single insurance plan through group health insurance across the country is $600. So let's say you took that $600 and you broke it up and said, okay, I'm going to take a portion of it and put it into medical, a portion of it into wellness, a portion of it into direct primary care, and a portion of it into savings, and let the person decide what they're going to do with that. There are many people who would say, I'm going to go buy for $200 a sharing program that totally meets my needs, mm-hmm. and I'm going to use that additional $400 to put in a whole bunch of other things, including a savings account that I can roll over from year to year, and I can build that up so that I have this pot of money in case I wind up with kind of a catastrophic thing that I've got a huge deductible to pay or a huge copay to pay. I've got this thing. So I think this idea of creating defined contributions instead of buying health insurance is really the future of healthcare. And there's some indications that it's moving and it's going to move very quickly.
Well, and I'm going to share a screen here. I'm not endorsing this particular company, but this type of company, right? So this one's called OneShare, but it's they're Christian healthcare memberships, and they're usually so much cheaper. They cover acute care, right? The emergency, so that you're putting your money into that and then you put the rest of your excess dollars into wellness, so that you can really reclaim your health. So again,
to mention there, you know, sharing programs have been around for a long time. Millions of people get their health care covered, and they don't use the word covered, through a sharing program. And for many years, they were almost all Christian ministry sharing programs. Mm-hmm. And they did, you know, ask you to commit to living a certain lifestyle, a biblical lifestyle. And so there are some that are uncomfortable with that. And now there are some sharing programs that have popped up that are not specifically religious related. Sedera mm-hmm. Health is a good example. Zion Health is another good example.
Okay, let me just say
we're not going to. So Sedera.com is one. And then I think it's Zion, Z-I-O-N, health.com.
Okay.
Are additional sharing programs that offer sharing that are not Christian ministries. You do have to agree to live a healthy lifestyle, but you're not asked to live a certain religious lifestyle.
And that's important because, you know, I don't want to tell anybody, is that really?
That's not it. It might be .org. It may not be a .com.
Okay, I'll find that. But, I mean, and here's the thing. You know, I don't want to tell anybody they have to be Christian in order to, you know, get this type of service. I'm really glad that you know what these options are because diversity is so important. So I'm happy and I kind of counted on the fact that you would know some other options. But is that it, the Zion Health right there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so
is that a .net or .org?
That is a .org. So, okay. And I'll actually take that and put it in the thread so that people, you know, for health sharing services, right?
Another one is Sidera, Sidera.com.
And how do I spell Sidera?
S-C-D-E-R-A.
We want people to have options for health, you know, and that one is, I'll put this in the thread as well.
You know, I think I've shared this with you before, but I believe that as this new ICHRA allows employers to move out of, I have to be the one who chooses the health plan for my employees,
right,
into saying, I'm going to simply put the money into this ICHRA and then let them choose to buy what they want, that transition is going to spur on individual health plan availability in a whole new way. And I think when companies like Amazon,
mm-hmm.
I think if Costco gets involved, I think Walmart's already decided they'll get involved. When you have these huge who say, we're going to offer our members individual health insurance plans that they can use their employer's money to buy and will be transmit from in one employer to the other, it'll change the face of healthcare. And you'll have a far greater focus on building plans around the member.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you go to Amazon.care, you'll hear them talk about what it's like to build healthcare around the person. And I think we're going to see in the future a whole new aspirational healthcare system. And quite honestly, employers shouldn't be settling for deficit-based healthcare. Employers need to say, I want to offer my employees, in order to attract them, an aspirational healthcare benefit and redesigning the way they pay for healthcare such that their employees can get what they want. And a healthcare system built around that.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, this is what you've aspired to all your life. I mean, that I've known you. I mean, like getting people what they want. Because when you give what they want, guess what? You have a happy employee. And then become productive. And
people like
they
choice.
Rise up. Yeah. And here's the scoop. For the listening audience, and gosh, Daryl, I know you know this. Naima, I know you know this. But, you know, we are not cookie cutter. We are individuals, and when we start treating people as individuals and honoring the differences and just be respectful of the fact that we're different, I mean, you know, so the first caller called in and talked about the jab, right? And here's the thing. I'm not going to get into an argument with people about it, right? People are entitled to their choice in the matter, and they're entitled to their opinion based upon their experience. And so, you know, there's a lot of anguish around that. And I think that if people can just step back and say, I'm doing what's best for my body and let people do what's best for their body, stop arguing. Really, because that will, the argument, the stress around that alone will reduce your immune system, right? It will deplete your immune system. So, think about what dice you want to pick up, right? Do you really want to pick up these dice? Because it's a fight you're not going to win. I could post all day long on all social media about my opinion about a hot topic, whether it be health or political or otherwise, but it's not the place that I'm going to win, right?
I'm going to win when I start listening.
Yeah.
Only then do I win. And I win because I make sure that they win.
Well, and therein part, that's where we have to change these perverse incentives.
Mm-hmm.
The healthcare system truly is twice as expensive as it needs to be. That's $2 trillion. If it could be more productive, be greater support for our economy than to simply fix people when they fall off cliffs. And, you know, it really does begin with the buyer. And one of the things I teach employers is you spend all of your time running a business, which is what you know how to do well, but the second largest cost of doing business, buying health benefits for your employees, you don't even apply the same basic business principles you apply in every other aspect of your business. You don't recognize yourself as a customer. You allow the system to be perversely incented to work against you, and you do nothing to drive the system to work for you. And I ask them, I say, how many of you give your CFO a bonus to give you profitability? Or how many of you give your CFOs a bonus to give you efficiency? Or how many of your salespeople get bonuses to bring you revenue? You bring in, you align incentives for every other part of your business, but how many of you recognize in any way provide bonuses or incentives to the people you put in charge of the second largest cost of doing business, buying health benefits? And because they're usually put, they have so many hats to wear, and they have no incentive to give the employer the four things they said they want, they're more than happy to give to a broker or a benefit consultant pretty much carte blanche responsibility to bringing them the solution. And that broker is often incented the more the healthcare costs, the more money they make. So why would they bring a different solution to the table when the current system works for them? And they'll bring in the insurance companies, and they too are misaligned. The more that healthcare costs, the more the insurance companies make. The big BUCAs, the Blue Cross United, the Cigna, they've all made huge share earnings. Their shareholders have made huge gains since the Affordable Care Act was passed. And then you look at the entire healthcare system, whether it's pharmaceuticals or hospitals or doctors, everybody makes more money the more people fall off cliffs. The more services we render, the more money we make. So the entire system is misaligned with the buyer, and it's the buyer's fault. How can you blame a system for not changing when they have all these perverse incentives not to change? You got to go to the employer who buys healthcare and say, gosh, darn it. You got to change the way you buy healthcare and align and start incenting the system to bring you what you want. To be able to attract and retain more people, you know, better employees. To be able to create healthy workforce. To be able to have your employees satisfied with the healthcare system. And to not, you've got to align the system to work for you instead of allowing it to be perversely aligned against you.
We have to go to commercial, but before we do, I just want to say, and I think there's been some changes regarding the EEOC incentives relative to, you've told me before about providing incentives to the HR department to make sure that these benefits are, you know, that their department is as profitable as the sales department, as operations, as, you know, marketing and so forth. But I recently, and I don't honestly know, you may know, it changed again, but employers have to be very careful about incenting and taking a position on the jab, on the vaccine, because while there's no liability on behalf of the vaccine maker, if, and correct me if I'm wrong here if it's changed, because you're probably more up on this than I am. I have an article up here, but I things change with the wind. That if I was an employer and I incentivized my employee to take a vaccine and then they got sick or, God forbid, something else happened, like they died, the employer now is on the hook for workman's comp or maybe for other things because they provided a $25 or $30 incentive for that employee to do something they may not have otherwise done.
So I'm not an attorney, and I don't have expertise in this specific area of incenting people to take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, when you refer to the EEOC, that they did finally come out with some regulations, but the new administration has simply put those on hold. So, you know, those are kind of still up in the air. And really, the incentives that the EEOC introduced are only for getting information about their health. So if you're going to incent someone to get a biometric screen, for example, then that comes into play. Or if you're going to incent someone to answer questions about their health, that comes into play. But it only comes into play when it has something to do with sharing health information. Otherwise, you know, there's the HIPAA guidelines on wellness incentives, and there's other guidelines on, and they're very different than what the EEOC just proposed. So keep in mind that there's a big difference between what you can incent. If you wanted to incent someone to work with a health coach, there's, you know, the limits are just not there like they are if you wanted someone to do a biometric screening. So there is a lot of information to learn about incentives, but incentives will bring people to the table. People will do simple tasks for incentives,
right,
like go get a shot, get the biometric screen. But keep in mind that incentives will not create complex behavior changes.
No, you can't not modify long-term
behavior. Lifestyle just because you give them an incentive. It just doesn't work.
They have to have that internal, you know, I'm at lost words today. That's not like me. But anyways, they have to really want to do it for themselves. So,
right. People have to make the change themselves.
The Place of Peace pop-up is a multimodal approach that helps your body feel balanced, centered, and rejuvenated in 20 minutes or less using sound frequency, DEMF technology, aromatherapy, salt therapy, and healing music. This aligns you with the heartbeat of the universe, heightens perception, and increases mental clarity to give you what you need to take on the day. We pop up at your office, your events, retreats, or you can come to our office.
Okay, and...
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African-Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com, and get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
Okay, we are back.
With a simple blood test and food plan.
And we're still running the show. You know, I know about health, but still learning the technology. And you got to laugh at yourself, because if you don't, you know, the alternative
right.
is not so great. It looks like we have a – looks Andrew Calhoun has a question. So he wants to know, Daryl, I'd like to hear more about others who are allowing employees to choose. Amazon and Costco are good examples. Can you talk more about this, how this trend is moving? You want to address that?
So if you're talking about the idea of employers using defined contribution to purchase healthcare benefits, it's just barely starting. I mean, there are a few companies across the country that have started to do this, but I think the introduction of the ICHRA will propel that. There have been companies that have been applying this defined contribution strategy for a while, but I think the ICHRA is really driving attention to that. I think the biggest problem is the healthcare benefit consultants are unaware or are not promoting employers use this strategy. And so there lies one of the problems, is that the advisors to employers are very much aligned with the current deficit-based healthcare system. And so, you know, getting employers to open up and look at other alternatives and look at innovative brokers and health consultants. There's an organization called Health Rosetta that is training a lot of benefit consultants to look outside the box, to look at different ways to align with the employer. And I think the more that employers do that, the more that large mega busters like Amazon or Costco gets involved, or like, you know, Walmart, the more that they get involved and the more that they start producing entire health plans. Now, Amazon Care is not an entire health plan. It's right now simply, in fact, it is available to employers. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, they took what was only available to the employees of Amazon and now made it available to employers. It's mostly a telemedicine type platform, and depending on where you live, what's nice about it is that if the doctor or the nurse needs to see you, they'll actually send someone to your home or to your office, which is very personalized care. Instead of you coming to them, they come to you. So they don't have an entire health plan put together yet that they're offering, but I truly believe that is their long-term strategy and their goal. And I think when you get these huge mega busters that can influence hundreds of millions of people across the country who use their purchasing power to really drive the healthcare system to be more wrapped around the patient and the customer owner, I think we'll see some major changes going on in the country. I mean, Costco, if you look at what Costco is doing right now, they already offer hearing and prescriptions and immunization, and there's a lot of things, eye care. There's a lot of things that Costco is doing right now short of an entire health plan.
Well,
they have
and
a PBM,
look at what,
right? It's one of the most innovative PBMs out there.
Yeah, and look at what Costco did, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but back in 2015, I think it's related to health, because they've been investing in organic farms to fuel what they know that the community wants, right? They know that they want real food that sustains the body, and they knew that at the, you know, back in 2015, there wasn't enough to supply them, so they bought their own organic farms,
yeah.
You know. And then he has another question.
Let me just show that. It says, Orient is giving client companies a choice to make an impact on productivity and decreasing health costs. Please share more about your approach.
So we have a lot of different products and services. The foundation of everything we offer, again, is the support through an accountability partner, a health coach or a life coach that supports people in making change. We've also committed a lot of resources in mental health. If you look at mental health, the big black box that nobody talks about is the fact that people wait on average 10 years before they reach out for help, after mental illness symptoms appear. That's a long time, you know, and to say, well, let's just focus on suicide prevention. Well, it's addressing the big black box and the fact that almost 60% never reach out for help. So those who reach out for help wait 10 years and 57% never reach out for help. So therein lies the problem. The fact that we're not addressing mental health, which happens to be the highest risk factor out there. Nothing produces more claims as a risk factor than mental illness, like depression and uncontrolled stress. You know, big studies have shown that they are the biggest risk factors that cause healthcare costs. Well, if you're going to address the big black box, the fact that people don't reach out for help, the fact that they wait so long to reach out for help, we have to become more proactive. So Resilience Pro by Orient is a strategy to use a non-mental health survey and non-mental health professionals to engage people early in mental health. And really, it's the stigma of mental health that causes people to wait so long. So we've created a simple pulse survey that can go out to the entire population, which simply lets people within 10 seconds answer how they're doing in each of the 8 categories of well-being: financial, social, emotional, physical, nutritional, environmental, intellectual, and just simply say, here's how I'm doing today. Now, this is how that part of my health and well-being is today. Well, that survey, they can, you know, they can bring up an app, see how they're training and so forth. That's monitored by a coach. And when people begin to struggle at the very onset, instead of saying, well, let's hope you make a phone call, we're reaching out to those people with compassion, with not a mental health professional. We're not calling with a psychologist that says, look, I think you're mentally ill. We're calling with a coach where there is no stigma, who builds relationships and rapport, and then becomes the catalyst in helping the people get over that barrier.
Right.
Having managed population mental health through another company for the last 20 years, the most important thing we can do is early intervention. Getting people in early is the secret sauce to managing population mental health. Not just, oh, let's have a crisis line in case someone feels suicidal. Like, we got to get way upstream from that.
So, yeah, and you're promoting that people, you know, you're promoting resilience, right? You want to talk a little bit about this? This is your site, right?
So Going On Offense is a movement that we started up about a year ago when the pandemic first hit, because we knew that there would be huge financial repercussions from the pandemic. We knew that there would be huge physical repercussions from the pandemic. But we knew that the emotional well-being repercussions would be even bigger and greater. And so Going On Offense was simply our effort to support the community through great ideas, suggestions, offerings. We've done over 50 webinars with experts across the country in just addressing this issue of how do we be resilient? How do we be emotionally well? How do we address the impact that the pandemic's having on the emotional well-being of people across the country?
Well, look at these statistics. I'm just going to read them out loud. 69% of workers say that right now is the most stressful time of their entire careers. 68% of Americans fear that the coronavirus will have a long-lasting impact on the economy. Well, I'm part of that. 62% of workers report losing 1 hour a day in productivity due to COVID-19 related stress. You know, people are so, they are, my heart goes out to them. I mean, well, and to myself, right?
Because there's
we're all
there's
dealing
so
with
the
stress of the pandemic.
Right? There's so much stress in the world. And, you know, I applaud you for, you know, for going on offense. Because, you know, I was actually one of your speakers last year. And health is so important. And there are so many solutions, easy, inexpensive solutions to bring calm to our body. You had mentioned about the oils. I mean, a lot of people don't know. There's a PubMed study. You know, you could take Ativan, right, which I know is a pharmaceutical and can cause harm to the body, or you can take one or two drops of a responsibly produced lavender essential oil. You can put it in your tea. You can put it in a vegetable cap and take it internally that way, or you can just inhale it. So, for instance, which one do I have here? Well, like when I can't breathe, this is eucalyptus, right? Everyone knows eucalyptus, right? These are just plants, people. So you breathe and it gets into your brain in 20 seconds and gets into your bloodstream in 30. And this is all based on science. And unfortunately, the science wasn't there years ago because no one was paying to have those studies done. But, you know, thank goodness people started to step up and do these studies to give people confidence to make the shift, because people are in pain mitigation, right? They're mitigating pain and things that put people into action are pain and fear avoidance. Right.
Well, and to that point, it was surprising to me, as we've done some of our own studies, that almost 50% of workers experience some kind of chronic pain. That's a lot of people that are suffering from chronic pain. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, so I have a friend of mine who's the CEO of Core Wellness, and he doesn't do what you do. He brings chiropractic-led on-site care to corporate America. His name is Jerry Curtin. If I haven't introduced you, I will after the show. Because that was his driving force when he realized, you know, that so many people were in pain. He thought, well, and I'm like, Jerry, what's the passion? He's like, no, it was a numbers game. No passion? He's like, well, yeah, passion for, like, shoving those numbers in the right direction. Yeah. So, and, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm a little different. I'm an emotionally driven woman who, you know, leads by that and then looks at the numbers to back up her passion, right? Then I also have a background in finance. But the thing is that I aspire to chiropractic care, mental health. Because the spine, the body doesn't heal well unless the spine is aligned. And I'm just going to kind of do a quick demo on this for the for people who are watching. Let me see if I have something I can. Well, like I have this spongy here. Okay, so we're just we're going to improvise. So this is your spine, right? And we know that the brain communicates to the rest of your body, all your organs, tissues, and cells through your spine, right? And it, let's say, has a kink in it, it may not communicate so well. Now, to drive this point home, let's pretend this is a garden hose and you're watering your garden and you put a kink in the garden hose, right? Water's not coming through.
Right.
Yeah. So no more so will the messages from your brain to the rest of your body through the spine get through if you have a subluxation in your spine. So
Ellen, if you've got pain anywhere in your body, it's hard to think clearly when you're suffering from pain.
Thank you. So when I, I know you know this, Daryl, but for the rest of the audience, I was misdiagnosed. Back in 1997, I complained of pain. They said the pain was all in my head and I should need to go see a psychiatrist. And technically they're right, right? Because, you know, it's the brain does control the entire body, but, you know, in this case, they were a little off. I did tear a rotator cuff. But here's what happened 20 years later. I go in to see a doctor, a neurologist in Barrington, Dr. Andrew Gordon, fantastic neurologist. And he and his team properly diagnosed me. He said, sorry, Jody, you don't have bipolar and you are not schizophrenic. You have pain. You can't process with pain. That just doesn't happen. So what we need to do is mitigate the pain. Now, I wasn't keen on his medication, and he knew that. And so he got me to a psychologist who was able to introduce me to whole foods, acupuncture. Then I just went crazy from there, as you know. So you're spot on. People can't. Oh, we have another caller. Hold on. So, I know it's Andrew Calhoun because I recognize the number. Hold on 1 second. Let's bring him on. Andrew Calhoun?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Daryl, Daryl, good to hear what you've got to say. It's a message that everybody in the world needs to hear. And I asked that question online. I got into my car, so I may have missed some of your answer. I heard right before I left the connection about the cost and implications of psychological challenges that people have and what a cost to healthcare that is, and that you have that test that you, the assessment kind of thing that you do, which is very simple. Share with us what, with the assessment, and then you have the findings, what do you do for your client companies, or what do you recommend to your client companies if there are challenges that you determine with their employees from a emotional well-being standpoint?
So my recent Forbes article I write for Forbes as a leadership contributor is all about the six or seven things that we need to do to be more proactive. And one of those things that employers can do that is incredibly important is culture. So, you know, obviously being proactive and using surveys to identify people and reaching out with compassion and offering a great free employee assistance program and case managing the difficult patients. Those are all things that I talk about in that Forbes article. But culture is incredibly important, and employers can do a lot about culture. Dr. Andy Crichton is a good friend of mine who was the medical director for 10 years for Principal Financial, and a great example of a company that took on healthcare in a proactive way and built a culture to support their employees' health and well-being. And primarily, it has a huge impact on stress and emotional health. Culture can play into a person's stress. Culture of work is huge when it comes to stress. And so companies that truly embrace a positive culture where they're listening to their employees, you know, I use the term the four S's of successfully running a company. You've got to, just like Edwards Deming teaches, you've got four customers you need to serve. It's the serve, the server, the sender, and the solvency. We need to take care of our primary customer that we're serving, but we need to take care of our employees who are the servers, just as important as providing services to the served. And the way we build our culture around supporting employees with servant leadership and support and giving them the resources they need to take care of the customers that they take care of is incredibly important to building emotional well-being. So we talk about some of the culture is huge. And I agree with Dr. Crichton that I think culture is one of the big horizons in the future that employers need to embrace and can embrace to address overall health and well-being.
Any other question around that, Andrew?
That makes good sense, and it really brings me back to something that I know Jody talks a lot about, which is self-care. Having the employers take a vested interest in the employees and then putting it back on them to say, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't be a good producer within our company, and therefore you can't be a good producer for our clients. So it does go down to the root of the person taking care of themselves. And I know that's what you, your company ultimately is about that, about the companies taking control and then helping the employees to take control of their own health care. So it's a great to hear. I hadn't heard about the moves, because my question, I sent one of those questions via text of what are examples of companies that are actually embracing this. Other than the companies who work with you as clients, who are companies that are changing in your Costco and Amazon are two huge examples, Walmart, maybe even another one that you mentioned. That's the large employers deciding, let's not wait for government to make these changes. Let's go ahead and make changes on our own. So that's good to hear, because my question was really, my real underlying question for you, Daryl, is what you're doing for your client companies is transformational. And what's happening for the greater mass of people and companies out there who don't yet know who Orion is? And you started to answer that question for me. So thank you so much, and I appreciate you being on the call.
Well, and again, thank you, Andrew. I think the key is, again, teaching business leaders, you don't have to be a large company to use a defined contribution strategy. And the ICRA isn't only available to large companies. I think the Amazons and maybe even Costco and Walmart will be producing solutions that any company can say to their employees, look, I'll give you the money, I'll get the tax deductibility of offering you, let's say, the $600, but now you get to use that money to go buy what you want. And if you want to use your Amazon Prime membership to buy a plan, if you want to use your Costco membership to buy a plan, if you want to go buy a plan from Blue Cross Blue Shield, you go choose how to spend that money. But I'm simply saying, I'm going to give you money to spend. I'm not going to be the one that has to go out there and figure out what's best for all my employees and choose a plan for everybody. I can simply choose I can choose how much to spend and let you choose how much to, or what plan to buy.
Right. And so I'm adding that right now, just kind of putting that into the chat here. A defined contribution strategy, an alternative to the defined benefit model, instead of offering set of benefits and committing to pay the same percentage of them each year, it provides a flat dollar amount to contribute to the cost of an employee's health plan.
What it does is it releases the grip that health insurance and that continually increasing cost of health insurance has on employers. It basically says, look, take control. Change the healthcare system, offer aspirational benefits, and stop letting the healthcare system basically drag you along and work against you. It's working against employers. And we need to allow employers to still get all the benefits of offering benefits and paying for the benefits and getting the tax deductibility of benefits and being able to attract them. We want that to stay, but we don't need employers to have to be the one that chooses for all their employees. Here are the four or five benefit plans you can choose from. That's where I think we've, over 75 years, because employers have not driven the system to be aligned with them, and they've allowed it to be perverse, the whole system works against them, and they're allowing that to happen.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, I tell people that they need to take control of their health, and you're telling them, employers, to take control of your health care, right?
Their health care dollars. They're going to spend the money. You know, we can't just say, well, I just don't need to recruit and retain good employees. I need to do that. But the way they're doing it is the problem. Now, I've talked about the NUCA system of care. I've talked about how aspirational health care is the best solution for your employees. Aspirational benefits is the best system for your employees. Now, you can't go buy health care from NUCA. It's only for the Native Alaskans, but they're belong to that South Central Foundation, 220 tribes. But I think one of the very best systems you can go by that is as similar, not exact, but as similar to what NUCA offers is an organization called Redirect Health. They created a very creative direct primary care virtual environment called Everyday Care, where it's very proactive, it's very taking care of all the logistics. It's very much like what NUCA's built, but they've added now a plan called Plus Hospitalization, and employers now really can buy anywhere in the country to Redirect Health, their Everyday Care Plus Hospitalization solution, which from my research out there is probably one of the best solutions right now that employers can go purchase that drives down their cost and gives their employees more of an aspirational type design or allows them to have a more aspirational design.
So, Andrew, do you have any other questions for Daryl?
No, not. Thank you very much.
All right. So we have
another
caller, and we also have to do commercials. So what I'm going to do is caller 312-823. I am going to bring you on. We're going to get your question, and then I'll probably have to pause you for a moment so we can go to commercial, and then we'll come right back. Okay? So 312-823.
Okay.
And what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Rashida Ali, calling from Chicago, Illinois. My question is, thank you. My question is, I have a private foundation, 501c3, and as a founder of my foundation that has in the bylaws to give benefits to those who retain and employ, how do we get involved, or can we get involved as a service organization with the benefit, health benefit plan that you are speaking of?
So can you repeat the question, because I'm having trouble hearing?
Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a private foundation who offers services to the community and abroad, contractual services. How do we get, or can we get involved with getting benefits for those who we train and employ?
So how do we get benefits for those who want to train their employees?
Through a private foundation.
Through a private foundation. How do we get, I don't know that I don't have.
What services do you render, ma'am? What are your services?
Well, we do contractual services, training for work for hire, manufacturing services as a professional fundraising.
So, okay. Contractual, repeat that again?
Contractual services.
Yeah, but what are those contractual services? What exactly are you providing?
Okay, well, the first contractual services service that we had offered was to the Department of Labor for training of Vietnam and Korea era veterans under the 5043. 504 and 503 Rehabilitate Act to repair buildings, commercial as well as residential. First contractual service that we received a contract for.
Okay, so about repairing buildings, but we're really, you know, forgive me, and I don't mean to be disrespectful at all. We're really talking about healthcare. So I don't know that either Daryl nor I have the expertise to, and Daryl, pipe in if I'm wrong, but I don't have that expertise to guide in that area. Do you? Or?
But ma'am, are you talking about, because it sounded like what you do is help, like veterans who may have been off to war, go through rehab by building these buildings. Is that true? So what you're really offering these veterans is the ability to maybe rehab from effects of the war. Is that kind of the essence of when it comes to healthcare, what you're doing?
Yes. It's under the Rehabilitative Act. So the actual participants, they get therapeutic services from our outreach to our foundation. So I was wondering, is this a benefit plan that can be developed for that purpose, or what's the benefit of an employer getting involved?
I probably need to learn a little bit more about your services to know exactly how, but if you're going to use a defined contribution strategy where you're simply saying, look, I'm going to put money in different buckets. Now, you use the money to best help yourself and to have a healthcare system support you, then I can certainly see some synergy between what you're doing for veterans and a strategy that allows the person to choose how to spend the money. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so great question. And if you would like to connect with Daryl offline, we can, it's orion.com. And if you go to the Susan Essentials YouTube channel, we do have his website listed, but it's www.orion.com. Orion is spelled O-R-R-I-A-N-T. And of course .com. And then we're gonna quick go to commercial here. So I'm just gonna mute for a moment and get us on the commercial, and then we have other callers on the line. So hold on 1 second here. So folks didn't hit that start button.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being, and we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
So I really love this commercial, but I just have to say this because it's like the elephant in the room. When we talk about the immune system, they're showing on there, I think it's pork. I'm like, hilarious, because that's not the immune system, but that's okay. So I just have to run a couple more of some of the radio. So Vieta.
I'm Vieta, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have.
Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is.
The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
All righty, so we're back, and I think we have a caller. I'm trying to make sure that I get this right. 312-849, that might be Naima again, but if not, you're going to let me know. Hold on. 312-849, you're live.
Yeah, I've spoken already, Naima.
Okay, so
one quick question, since I'm on, one quick question.
Please.
If an employer wants to get involved with this plan, how long does it take for them to put it in motion? If they've got, say, maybe 5-6 employees, you know, maybe average small business, and they want to make this happen, or is there a minimum or maximum number of employees or size of a business that is able to do this?
Very good question. In terms of the one that I mentioned that I think is probably the best solution that matches up with NICA the best, Redirect Health, there is a minimum of 20 employees in order to do their Everyday Care Plus hospitalization. However, they do have a sharing option for employers that have less than 20. So they actually have a solution for both. In terms of an employer of any size wanting to go to a defined contribution, it's really just a matter of changing the way they do it. And quite often it's a matter of changing who they're using as their benefit consultant. And I would be happy to refer them to some very innovative benefit consultants that align with this strategy.
That's amazing.
I would also mention that we're putting on a conference this summer in July called Aspirational Healthcare Conference. And if you go to aspirationalhealthcare.com, you can learn about that. You can learn about who's presenting at that conference. And again, the purpose of the conference is to share with employers that they don't have to keep putting up with a deficit healthcare system.
So I'm actually pulling up that link right now, and I'm just going to show people what to look for. And then I'm also going to put the link in the thread on YouTube and Facebook. So it's Aspirational Healthcare Health, not just healthcare. It's July 14th and 15th. And I'm just going to read this so for the listening audience. When healthcare's primary focus is on your health rather than fixing a problem after it occurs, you know, falling off the cliff, right? The whole system is half as expensive and you enjoy a higher level of health. So please join the first Aspirational Healthcare Conference, July 14th and 15th this year. And the virtual conference will highlight aspirational healthcare systems like South Central Foundation's NUCA system of care in Alaska. I've always wanted to go to Alaska. Are we sure we can't do this in person? Just saying.
Well, I will tell you, Jody, that every year, for many years, they have held a conference in Alaska. It's called the NUCA conference, and they do. They have countries come from all over the world and have been for many years going to Alaska to learn. It's usually a week-long conference about this NUCA system of care. Now, this year, because of the pandemic, they did it virtually, but I'm sure they'll be holding their NUCA conference on a regular basis in Alaska, where you can actually go to Alaska, enjoy during the summer the beautiful scenery in Alaska, and learn from the best healthcare system in the world.
Yeah, and so I'm already registered for this event. I am putting in the thread here how the link so you can register for the event. I know that Daryl has some, you know, I'm going to let you do like a little commercial here, Daryl. How can they, as a business, participate? Because I think that you have some really cool options. Why don't you share about that?
So, yeah, if you want to learn about aspirational healthcare in this conference, just go to aspirationalhealthcare.com. Now, if you wanted to be a supporter of the conference, we'll actually just list your company's name on our website as a supporting organization and give you two free registrations to the conference. We do have different levels, so students, which we're promoting that students of population health and healthcare services attend. There's a discount for students, but even for regular attendees, it's less than $100. It's pretty inexpensive to attend, but you can be a supporting organization and get two conference registrations free.
That's
now, if
awesome.
You want to help sponsor the conference, there's some sponsorship opportunities that also aren't very expensive and allows employers to get some exposure or some providers who are offering aspirational type benefits or services to get exposure through the conference as well.
Yeah, and I'm already a supporter, so I did that. I know that Andrew Calhoun registered as well, and I shared this with many people in the community, but I just want to share this again. It's the Aspirational Healthcare Virtual Conference. So you want to go to, I guess it's, just go to Aspirational Healthcare Conference. Look at
go to aspirationalhealthcare.com, mm-hmm. and the link to the conference will be on that page. And that's where you can learn more about this concept of aspirational healthcare.
Thank you for that. And the link is in the YouTube channel. It's on Susan Essentials YouTube, Susan Essentials Facebook. And then, of course, we're going to share this on this whole show on LinkedIn as well. So so you can, access this information there. So and then, all right, so we have, I think that we have listeners, but we don't have callers right now. So talk to me. We have a few minutes left. What do you want the listeners to know, Daryl? What's the most important message you want to get out?
I think the most important message is that we can do a better job of offering healthcare services in this country, and we can turn it around. I call it turn it upside down to where the health system works for you instead of everybody kind of just being the benefactors of the healthcare system. And not to put down, we have one of the most amazing healthcare systems anywhere in the world. Let's make it better by filling that gap that I mentioned earlier, the gap between population community health, like vaccinations and support and, getting overall community health, addressing different issues within the community. And then the sick care system, there's this whole gap in terms of supporting people and living healthier. And therein lies the biggest opportunity we have in the healthcare system, which is the gap that the NUCA system of care has filled. If you look at healthcare, I like to use the analogy, it's a car going in the wrong direction with four blown out tires. We need to turn that car to go in the right direction towards health and not just health care. And we need to fill up those four blown out tires. One is primary care. Mm-hmm. We need to change the focus of primary care to be more aspirational, to be direct primary care, to take ownership in helping people support their health. We need to address the fact that we don't coordinate care very well. People are on their own to coordinate their own care between the various specialists that they get sent to. That's a major problem. We also need to address the fact that we don't support people in making behavioral changes. Mm-hmm. Almost 90% of everything we spend is from the root of lifestyles. Well, there's a lot we can do, and so that needs to be blown up as well. We need to fill that tire. And then finally, we need to fill up the tire of mental health. We're not addressing proactively the largest risk factor in this country, which is mental health. And so if we really want to create a NUCA-type system of healthcare, we need to create an aspirational healthcare system that's focused on creating health and not just providing healthcare. I love the analogy that, again, Dr. Eby uses of if you want to make a car go faster, mm-hmm. there's only so much you can do to make that car go faster, and it can only go so fast. But if your job isn't to just transport people through a car, but to move people, the job is to move people from here to here, then maybe we ought to stop using a car. Maybe we ought to start using an airplane or a train to get people from here to here. And so we need to take this deficit-based healthcare system that we're also used to and think that that's healthcare, that that's it, and say, no, that's not healthcare. There's some very big gaps, and the biggest gap is just a system to support people in taking ownership of their own health.
So I want to add to that. So you and I both agree there's a huge gap for the mental health community, right, for people who need. And I want to draw this conclusion because this is so important. If you're having mental health issues, look at your water supply, look at your food supply, look at the chemicals that you're cleaning your home with. Look at, if you're a woman, look at the makeup you're using, both men and women, deodorant, okay, if there's aluminum in it, okay, it's impacting your brain health. So if you are having issues, you need to look at your environment. And I always talk about the three T's, toxins, traumas, and thoughts. And these three things are impacting your well-being. And so, and then create yourself a support system to help you on that goal. And Daryl has that support system, $40 a month. Holy Toledo Batman. Seriously, no, you can call in anytime you want for $40 a month. Now, if you are not getting where you need to go when you change your diet, which I can help you with, getting coaching, which Daryl can help you with, then you can go to Amen Clinic and have a brain scan done to find out what the underperforming parts of your brain are or overperforming, right? So do the basics first, right? Clean up your diet. Have someone to talk to help you with your accountability and get you on your path. If removing the toxins from your environment and re-inoculating your system with the right things isn't working, there are more options. Do not give up. There is always hope, and there is always a way, and you just haven't found it yet, but we're here to take you there.
So, very well said.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, because there's just... That was the biggest thing for me, you know, because I won't lie about it. I was in a bad place when I was sick. And so people look at you and you're doing better. I'm on top of the mountain, but you know, the glacier effect. And they think, oh, and I'm embarrassed. I'm not going to be good enough. I've got these mistakes. There's not a mistake that you're making that I haven't already made. You know? So have no fear. Tons of us have made mistakes before you. So you know, let go of the fear, step out, have some fun, you know, stop taking yourself so seriously like I do, and you know, and take control of your health. Anything you want to add to that before we have to do the ending thing, and I think we have 30 seconds. What's your last 30 seconds?
Well, I think we've talked a lot. We've talked about the key themes. Again, defined contribution strategies really is the way to go as employers, taking ownership of our own health and recognizing that we sometimes need help to get out of those ruts.
Awesome. Awesome and well said. I'm going to run this commercial. Thank you, Daryl.
To the end of our show today.
So Daryl, every show, amazing to have you here. You are a bright light and coupled with brilliance, right?
You can tell. I'm very passionate about fixing our biggest economic crisis.
So grateful to have met you years ago, and that we're one step at a time, one moment at a time, one person at a time, making a difference in this world.
Well, when you do post it, send me a link.
I will.
So we can share it.
I will be more than happy. Yeah, it's actually already live on YouTube, but I will send you that link right after the show. So,
super. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida.
Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.